In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Well, thank you. I actually probably will. I think this is, I'm a little frazzled this morning for some reason, which, you know, is applicable to the sermon. So, distracted by many things. I guess something to hold on to is going to help you today, actually. For those who I might not have met last time, it is lovely to be back. For those I did get to meet last time I was here, my name is Matthew Lukens. I'm the chaplain at Canterbury House at the University of Michigan, up in Ann Arbor, or over in Ann Arbor, which is our kids ministry over there. I've been there 5 years this October, which is hard for me to believe, because a lot of that time seems to have gone by both incredibly slowly and incredibly quickly, given what the last couple of years have been. People often will ask me, you know, what's a regular week at Canterbury House? And I'm like, that's not a great question, because that it doesn't exist. We have a few kind of standard things that happen each week during the academic year. You know, we have worship services. We usually have a small group of some sort. Usually Bible study. Last year's a Baptist, so I do. That's the one thing I will subject people to. I do love to do Bible study. But past that, every other week is different, and then every year is different. Mainly because in campus ministry, you know, a quarter of the people who come might be graduating, and then you get a new 25% through the door the next year, hopefully. But, you know, it runs a range from grabbing coffee with people, meeting new student leaders in the community, or people we might coordinate things with. We often host a lot of groups. We have a long history with music that I know a lot of people know. And then projects people propose that might only run for a year or might run for five, ranging from a music series for artists of color in Ann Arbor, which was running when I first got there before those students graduated, to a program we have now where some folks from the School of Social Work came to us and asked us for help with a fund to help trans folks in need in Washtenaw County. Which we now host that fund, but they more or less run it. And that's not even getting to things such as planning week to week, like enough food at the table, or not having a homeowner, how to take care of a building, because we do own Canterbury House. Also, we rent out the upstairs, so also got to learn how to be a landlord on the side with all of those things. All of which are also things that have all come up in this last week, all of which I'm bringing up because I've been having a bit of a Martha week, everyone. In case the caffeine hadn't kicked in quite yet when I was reading the gospel, here's a quick recap. You know, Jesus is coming into town. And actually, this is part of a cultural convention at the time. Jesus is not the only traveling rabbi at this point in time. He's the only one we're really reading about in the Gospels, obviously. But actually, it's not just Jesus going and doing this. There's actually a bit of a cultural convention here of a rabbi traveling around to towns to go and teach, and having disciples follow that rabbi. Often families would kind of fund some of their sons before they settled down in the long term to go and follow a rabbi to learn their teachings. And these rabbis would be welcomed into someone's home and hosted, and that would be where they could teach while they were in that town before moving on to the next. So this is kind of like a common cultural practice. So people hearing this story originally this wouldn't be something extraordinary, but they would know what Martha was taking on by deciding to host Jesus in her home. And some things don't change much. Hospitality was important, and is still important. Even the early church, which wouldn't have had traveling rabbis, because they were all around the Mediterranean in the early church, they also met in people's homes. Often it was actually wealthy widows who kind of bankrolled the entirety of the early church, especially by hosting early Christians in their homes. Things haven't changed too much. Who here's ever hosted a dinner party?
party, wedding shower, baby shower,
luncheon for a nonprofit. Any of y'all ever gotten a little stressed trying to get everything together? Because what I really want Jesus to do in this story is not even to tell Mary, go and help. I like Jesus to get the other disciples up and to go help out as well, right? Then we can all get all the work done, and then we can all go and sit down. Because I would tell Jesus, you know, there's a reason we don't have a parable of that time Martha forgot to put the lentils on, so we all went to bed hungry. But instead, frustratingly, in the middle of my week this past week, when I'm trying to figure out how to get the idea out from under the siding, because a group of them weren't paying attention, the person who was supposed to co-host this supper gathering would be bailed on me with 2 hours' notice, and all the other things going on, Jesus just says, Martha, or Matthew, you are distracted by many things. As unfortunately as the script continues, Jim and anyone else saying hi to me as I was coming to the door this morning can also attest that hasn't stopped quite yet. What some people do with this text, what some of the early tradition did with this text, was kind of set up this dichotomy between Mary and Martha. A lot of interpretations, especially in the early church, have Mary be the contemplative life and Martha be the active life and kindness, life of the Spirit and life, in the busyness of the world. And Jesus is saying, we don't need to worry ourselves quite so much. But I think there's something a lot more basic going on here. I think Jesus, in the gentlest way possible, is trying to tell Mary to calm down. But also, as anyone who's ever told someone to calm down, that phrasing does not work. And not calm down because what she's doing isn't important. Jesus isn't saying that what Martha's doing isn't important. Jesus isn't saying that hospitality isn't important. Jesus isn't saying that all the things we do to welcome other people, to make space for other people, are not, it's not that those aren't important things. There's something deeper going on than just saying calm down. There's a reminder of what all of those things are for, and also what we are for. We're not made to be machines executing moral perfection or perfect hospitality, as much as I really wish I could. I'm from Alabama, if I've never mentioned that before, so I've got southern hospitality standards, and those are exacting. But over this week and the next 3 weeks, actually, there's kind of a theme I would say is spreading through all these readings, which I would call Jesus' ethic of enough. Because we can reach a point of just needing enough. Next week is when Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, in which we ask for our daily bread. We ask for enough. The next week is the rich man who stores years and years of grain up in his grain houses, but then is told, this very night your life will be demanded of you. We're not meant to hoard years and years of excess even for ourselves, even in case of safety, because what if next year there might not be enough? But we ask for daily bread. And as a reminder, all of those, all that grain being stored in those grain houses usually meant other people weren't able to get their daily bread for want of holding up in case next year what there wouldn't be enough. I think that applies here as well, because I think we can, and Martha can, and I can, get so wrapped up in the details of just trying to get it all right, we lose
sight of what the moment and what the things we are doing for. There is such thing as having pulled off hospitality enough. It might not be perfect, but they're already gathered. They're already able to be in Martha's house. They've already reached the point where they can sit at Jesus' feet and listen. There already is enough. Because love, even the love of God, and even the love we're told to offer one another and ourselves, is not perfection. But love actually can be expressed by just giving enough. Enough daily bread, enough for ourselves if we have left over, then enough for our neighbor, enough for the basics of hospitality, which is a hard discipline.
That is the happened here is I actually fumbled what was supposed to be the last line of the sermon. And so, you know, when that happens when you're speaking, it's kind of hard to go back and just reset that up again. Because there really is going to be a kind of like stick the landing with like a kind of catchy line with love picking up. And instead, like that last sentence just really, like, my brain puts out. I apologize. And maybe in so doing, I end up being an object lesson this morning. That even if distracted by many things, even when I am distracted so much in my own head that I forget the sentence that I happen to be in the middle of when trying to finish a sermon, that I can even be gentle with myself this morning, standing in front of everyone, as I remind everyone, and it turns out I am this reminder of this precise moment myself. The love God calls us to provide one another is not the kind that will grind us into the ground being distracted by the many things we may try to get perfect and knock out of the ballpark. When God says God already loves us, that comes from a place of saying what we can do, whatever we can do, can be enough.